This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. And you know what time it is. It's the start of the second hour on a Monday. And that means it's time for Medal of Honor Monday. For you new listeners, every single person who earns a Medal of Honor, they do a citation. They do a write-up on what they did. All we do every Monday at this time is we take one and we read it. That's it. We take one and we read it. Why? It's to remember the men and their deeds. And it's to hold up something different in front of our culture as something we can and should aspire to be. There's so much evil held up in front of us now. And horrible losers, then we tell kids that's what you're supposed to be instead of actual heroes. Well, listen, I need to answer a question about it first, but you can do this at home. You know you can do this with your kids, with the team you coach, the school you teach, your Sunday school. This is something anyone can do. All these are available online. I don't own any rights to this. They're not my acts of heroism. Do this. Talk about heroes with your kids, all right? Look, we watched Braveheart yesterday with our kids because they were finally old enough. And yes, that's a great movie, but we have discussions about heroism when we talk to our boys. Show them right, wrong, fighting for good. That's what we should be doing with our kids, right? So this lady said, love your Medal of Honor portion. My question is, when reading your citation, who inputs the story behind it? Is it a collection? So on and so forth. Pause on that. I'm going to get to that afterwards, but there's actually an interesting thing around Medal of Honor Monday on that. So pause on that for a moment. But we also took email suggestions, and this one is Jesse. I wanted to suggest John A. Chapman, U.S. Air Force for Medal of Honor Monday. I have no personal connection to this hero, but I was nonetheless moved by his story and the actions he took on the battlefield to save the lives of brothers in arms. The book Alone at Dawn details the events. I'm a relatively new listener, so you may have read this. I just felt compelled to send it. His name is Matt. Listen, you can email love, hate, death threats, and suggestions. We have done this before, and that's just fine. We have many we've done several times. Look, until they fire me, we'll do plenty several times. These are good enough to read twice. But without further ado, here's one for John A. Chapman, which he got in Afghanistan.
Ready, aim, fire.
Honoring those who went above and beyond, it's Medal of Honor Monday.
Technical Sergeant John A. Chapman distinguished himself by extraordinary heroism as an Air Force Special Tactics Combat Controller attached to a Navy Sea, Air, and Land SEAL team conducting reconnaissance operations in Takhurgar, Afghanistan on March 4th, 2002. Pause for a moment. Well, never mind. I'll keep going. During the insertion, the team's helicopter was ambushed, causing a teammate to fall into an entrenched group of enemy combatants below. Sergeant Chapman and the team voluntarily reinserted onto the snow-capped mountain into the heart of a known enemy stronghold to rescue one of their own. Without regard for his own safety, Sergeant Chapman immediately engaged, moving in the direction of the closest enemy position despite coming under heavy fire from multiple directions. He fearlessly charged an enemy bunker up a steep incline in thigh-deep snow and into hostile fire, directly engaging the enemy. Upon reaching the bunker, Sergeant Chapman assaulted and cleared the position, killing all the enemy occupants. With complete disregard for his own life, Sergeant Chapman deliberately moved from cover only 12 meters from the enemy and exposed himself once again to attack a second bunker from which an emplaced machine gun was firing on his team.
During this assault from an exposed position directly in the line of intense fire, Sergeant Chapman was struck and injured by enemy fire. Despite severe mortal wounds, he continued to fight relentlessly, sustaining a violent engagement with multiple enemy personnel before making the ultimate sacrifice. By his heroic actions and extraordinary valor, sacrificing his life for the lives of his teammates, Technical Sergeant Chapman upheld the highest traditions of military service and reflected great credit upon himself and the United States Air Force. And I would say Tech Sergeant Chapman more than deserves some taps, wouldn't you? What a guy. To answer the question, where do we get the stories behind these things? Well, that's kind of the, I don't want to say bad thing. That's not what I'm looking for, but that's the thing that is odd about these Medal of Honor citations. Somebody has to have seen you do it, right? And oftentimes there has to be someone with the enough rank to have seen you do it. And look, I'm actually not going to go off on officers here. I'm not doing that thing again where I complain about officers. I'm really not. But if I am a Lance Corporal, I'm a low ranking guy, and I go out on patrol with Jewish producer Chris, and he's a private. Okay, so he's an even lower ranking guy, which of course he would be, always below me in rank. What, Chris? Anyway, so we go out on patrol. And we get ambushed. And of course, I get wounded and Chris has to come save. No, you know what? No, we can't do the story that way. I don't like that. Chris gets wounded and I, of course, have to come save him. He did something stupid. He got hurt. And I have to go fight my way through 100 people and kill them all. What, Chris? To go save Chris. And I'm not saying I would. I might just leave him there. But if I chose to go save him, I obviously would fight my way through everybody and I would save Chris. The chances that I would earn a Medal of Honor killing those 100 guys and going saving Chris's life are virtually zero. Even if Chris lives. Even if Chris not only lives, he writes down exactly what I did. Why? It's a Lance Corporal and a private. How do I know Chris didn't make it up? How do I know if he didn't remember? How do I know if he even remembered it right? After all, only officers are the ones who can tell the truth. Sorry, I'm not letting that bleed in, but you understand what I'm saying. Not just enough people have to see you do what you did. The right people have to see what you did. You know who John Yancey is? That's a good point, Chris. You know who John Yancey is? I bet you've never heard the name John Yancey. I have a project for you, a little home reading project. And if you don't want to do this, that's fine. At this exact time tomorrow, I will read it for you on the show if Chris can remind me to bring my book in tomorrow. But there's a book out there, amazing book on the Korean War called On Desperate Ground. This is where you can read about John Yancey. So I'm just going to give you the short version here because I'm going to read this tomorrow. But John Yancey, he was the leader of his men on a hilltop, and he fought like a lion all night long, just like all the Marines did all night long. He did 100 things that were worthy of a Medal of Honor. And at the end of the night, like it was morning time, John Yancey finally had a Chinese commie, pop up, I think it was with a burp gun, and blasted him in the face with it, shot him in the face with a machine gun. John Yancey, having just been shot in the face with a machine gun, his eyeball was hanging out of his face, hanging out of his eye, he pulls out his pistol that he had taken from a Japanese soldier he killed in World War II and shoots the guy dead with it, then reaches up and takes his eyeball and plucks it back into his head. No Medal of Honor. And this is not written down, but the word is, you won't find this part in the book, but the word is, the reason he did not get a Medal of Honor for his acts of heroism are all the officers who were at enough rank were all dead by the time he did it. It's not just the act of heroism. Enough people and the right people need to see you do it. That's part of the reason why this year was the first year we did it. We'll probably try to do this every year. You know, we do a special Memorial Day show to honor the fallen. We didn't do Medal of Honor citations this year. We did Silver Stars and Navy Crosses. You read some of those and you say, how in the world did this guy not rate a Medal of Honor? Well, that's why. All right. Now, we have the important thing to talk about next. Would you like to talk about the important thing before we get to that? Let's talk about my meat. Your meat. America's meat. You get your meat from the grocery store. I did forever. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm not criticizing you for that. I'm not yelling at anybody. But those days need to be behind us. Grocery store meat is untrustworthy. Grocery store meat, almost all these grocery stores are owned by these big corporations now that hate your friggin' guts. And Good Ranchers, the all-American God and Country Company, they will deliver the best meat, all-American, transparent vaccination policy. They'll deliver it to your front door. You subscribe to a meat box, and I get my meat delivered to me, to my front door, the best meat ever. And now, a year worth of your choice of free meat when it's sirloin or salmon or organic chicken breasts or bacon. You pick which one of those and you get it a year of it for free with a subscription. GoodRanchers.com. Code Jesse. Get you $20 off and a year of free meat. Go get it. GoodRanchers.com. Code Jesse.
The Jesse Kelly Show. On air and online at JesseKellyShow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Rolling right along. Remember, you can email Jesse at JesseKellyShow.com. If you missed any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Google, Spotify, and iTunes now.
I know everybody's all hot and bothered about the latest poll numbers. You see the poll numbers? You know, that's not the biggest deal out there right now. The manifesto is not the biggest deal. The newest Trump-Biden poll numbers aren't the biggest deal right now. It's Monday night. Tomorrow, there are critical elections happening in this country. Critical elections. I had breakfast. It was probably more of a brunch, but I don't like to call it that. It sounds very, you know, single white female. But I had breakfast this Sunday with a buddy of mine from out of town, Marine buddy from East Texas. So he's in Texas. He's in town. He was in town with his wife. Went and sat down, wife and I went and sat down, had lunch, had breakfast with a guy. Brunch, Chris, we were brunching. Shut up. Anyway, we're brunching. And he is a huge Trump guy, just always was, huge Trump guy. And we were talking about everything, reminiscing on old times and all these other things. And the conversation ended up going to Trump and his trials. And then he referenced the poll numbers. I'll get to these poll numbers and whatnot. New York Times is reporting, a bunch of people reporting Joe Biden's losing to Trump in every swing state, so on and so forth. And my buddy was super pumped about it. And I kind of probably burst his bubble a little too hard, but he brought it up to me. Said, did you see his poll numbers? It's Trump. It's over, man. Biden has no chance. And I said, yeah, that's awesome. I'm actually thrilled about that. That's awesome. Did you vote in Texas yet? And he looked at me and he knows me, right? So he knew he'd been gotten, that I would even ask that question. He knew he'd been gotten, and he kind of tensed up for a second and then gave me the, what election, man? I didn't know. Now, this is a guy. He's on social media. If I go to his social media page right now, I bet you he has 5 social media posts up today about the 2024 election. I bet you he's dogging on Biden, probably dogging on DeSantis, Trump's the best, all these things. And my buddy, he thought until Sunday that that made him involved politically. He thought he was involved. He thought he would, if you'd asked him, are you a political person? He would have told you yes. And I informed him, buddy, Trump and Biden, you're talking to me about Trump-Biden poll numbers a year away from the election? You live in the state of Texas, and you didn't even know there was an election going on, let alone went down and voted in it? And, of course, I ended up trying to ease that because you could tell I stung him pretty good. But Virginia, Pennsylvania, Tucson, Arizona, Texas, Ohio. That's not all of them. Tomorrow, there are critical elections happening for this nation. Elections that will determine so much more of how your life goes than any presidential election. Do you remember this? Let's do a little rewind. Do you remember this? Listen, I want you to listen to this. This is Kentucky Governor Andy Beshear.
This virus wants to kill as many of us as possible, and it'll mutate, it'll change. We got to be flexible, we got to be proactive, but most importantly, we have to do the right thing, push out the noise and protect one another. It's critical for our lives. It's critical to keep our kids in school. They wear masks, they'll be in school. They won't, they'll be home quarantined.
If your kid wears a mask, I'll let him go to school. If your kid doesn't wear a mask, I'll send him home to quarantine. That evil piece of communist trash is up for election tomorrow in Kentucky. You got your DeSantis t-shirt and your Trump bumper sticker. Are you going out to the polls to vote in the election that matters? Are you texting and telling friends, family members, your neighbor? You can do it. I do it to my neighbors all the time now. And not only that, I demand a response. Because I told you about the time I got ignored. I have to have all these endless text messages all day. Can you believe the football and the Cowboys? Did you catch that game? And everybody all day long. And I sent out a text message about local elections last time and I didn't get a response. Let me tell you something, Jack. It don't fly anymore. Now when I send text messages, I get a response or you're getting another one from me. So hello, someone, anyone here? Is my phone working? I'm not telling you don't get involved in the 2024 presidential election, but I am going to tell you this. If you're in Ohio, Kentucky, whatever, if you're in one of these places and you're not at least going out to vote tomorrow or have voted already, then I would kindly ask you to take your Trump hat off, remove your Ron DeSantis bumper sticker, and go watch the game with the other losers because you're not actually politically involved. You're a fan. That's all you are, is a fan. You're no different than the people in the stands on Sunday watching the other players play. If all you do is rant online, Trump, DeSantis, Biden sucks, and you can't be bothered to vote in local elections, hit the bricks, pal. You're useless. Useless. All right? What kind of stakes are we talking about? You know what? Let's address that really quickly. Before we do that, let's do this. Let's talk about saving children. This social media age comes with a lot of good and a lot of bad. Sadly, social media has made it very, very easy for child predators. It's, look, all these social media sites like Discord and others, they are the hotbed of child predators, convincing your child to do things they don't want and eventually human trafficking them. American kids. That's happening right now. What can we do? How do we solve this? Well, the Acervo Project will not only educate you and your children. The Acervo Project is out there tracking down these kids and rescuing them and tracking down bad guys and making sure they go away forever. When you give to Acervo Project, you're saving kids and putting scum in prison. Average age of an American child is 14 years old of a trafficked child. That's why they ask for $14 a month. TheAcervoProject.org. ASSERVO. Go give today.
Jesse Kelly. Back soon.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Oh, yeah. Tennessee state law enforcement won't release the manifesto. FBI won't release the manifesto, won't comment on it. Nashville, Tennessee Police Department
Won't confirm it. Once again, I just want to remind everyone before we get back to this local elections and things like that, secret state police agencies are infinitely more dangerous than shooters themselves. Shooters can end your life, no doubt about it. Secret state police agencies will end your nation completely. They will. The real story out of Nashville is law enforcement and our justice system being evil. Not the evil of that worthless piece of demonic crap who's burning in hell right now. All right? All right. Now, speaking of burning in hell right now, here's Planned Parenthood. This is an ad they're running.
And after my abortion, I just started living my life.
Getting an abortion made me stronger.
It took me a really long time to say I had an abortion, even as a doctor.
I was told this was going to be something horrible, but It felt like I saved my life.
All I could feel was relief,
and I don't regret that.
Now let me ask you something. Speaking of local elections, because I was ranting about them. Did you know that in the, quote, red state of Ohio, state I was born in, state where virtually all my extended family still lives, state where I go to all the time, my state, go Buckeyes, by the way, did you know that abortion tomorrow might end up being enshrined as a right in the Constitution of the state? It will end up with no limits. Why is it even on the ballot? Why is this even an option? Because to get it on the ballot, they had to have an election. The people voted. In the demonic scum who want to carve babies up like Thanksgiving turkeys, they ran out to vote. The right, they were arguing with Trump and DeSantis supporters, throwing poop at each other online, and didn't bother to show up at the polls. Now, tomorrow is D-Day. Shouldn't even be on the ballot, but it is. And so let me ask you something if you're in Ohio. Just a question. Did you go to church this Sunday? Synagogue? Saturday, right, Chris? Is that when you people go? You go to synagogue this Saturday or church this Sunday? Did your rabbi or your pastor, did they mention that you need to get your butt to the polls on Tuesday to save the lives of babies? Or did they tell you about turning that cheek? Well, your pastor should be pushing you that way. If they've never mentioned it, you need to find a new church in Ohio. I'm done with this laissez-faire patheticness on the right. These people, the people who want to do us harm, the people who want to do evil, are committed to doing it. This is what I can't stand. We act like they're so evil, they're just, surely they can't be that committed to it. They're the most committed. The evil people are the most committed in this country. The good people, well, I mean, some guy said it, and I want to give him credit, although I don't even know his name. Some guy said it. He said, I guarantee you, the single white woman who's half insane, I promise you, she'll crawl across a mile of broken glass to vote for abortion in Ohio tomorrow. The Christian? The conservative? The person on the right? Well, I don't know. Got to pick up the kids from practice. You see the game last night? Monday Night Football, baby! We have got to be committed. We have got to fight. Hands and feet fighting. It's right here. It's right in front of us. And look, this same thing applies in Pennsylvania. Are you listening to me right now in Pittsburgh? I love you, Pittsburgh, by the way. Oh my gosh, I love the sandwiches. Anyway, are you listening in Pittsburgh? Virginia, Kentucky, Texas, all across the country? Critical elections tomorrow. And yet, you go online or you sit and talk to somebody about politics. And all it is Trump, Biden, DeSantis, Trump, Biden, DeSantis. You see, it's about Trump. What about Trump? I love Trump, MAGA. Oh, Biden's stupid. Oh, DeSantis is the best. I love Ron DeSantis. Best governor ever. Oh, okay. Did you vote in the local election? Local election, huh? What? I didn't think the election was till 2024. Pathetic. And this is where you and I need to do better. And I'm pointing fingers at me because I know you already know, and I know you're already voting. We have got to start being more aggressive with people in our personal lives. We do. And not mean. I didn't say mean. Now, it might sound mean coming from me, but we've got to start getting more aggressive in our personal lives. Because, again, the evil people are committed. You remember this Letitia James soundbite? Forget about the beginning part here where she's talking about she's not targeting him. I want you to listen to something along these same lines. Hang on.
The President of the United States has complained.
Yeah, fast forward. All right, here's Kevin. All right, here's her. All right, this is her campaigning against Donald Trump. Listen to this. His days are numbered. We've got to get ready to mobilize.
Get ready to agitate and irritate until victory is won.
We got to get ready to agitate and irritate until victory is won.
More importantly, until Trump is defeated.
You know, I know you don't like Letitia James. I don't like Letitia James. But you know the difference between Letitia James and Republicans? When Letitia James gets up and gives a campaign speech saying, elect me to be your AG and I'll arrest your political opponents, at least she means what she says. At least she's committed to it all the way. She's not just lying to your face for votes. When Letitia James gets up and chants, lock her up, she'll be locked up. Because Letitia James means it. We have got to mean it equally. We have got to mean it equally. Tomorrow, I'm going to get off it now because there's all kinds of other things I want to get to. If you have an election tomorrow and you sit that one out, don't ever say another word to me about 2024. Trump, Biden, DeSantis, I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear it anymore. We have got to start waking up and getting out there and fighting. And I'm going to get to this Biden and a bunch of stuff when it comes to the Biden stuff here in a few. I do want to get to some emails before I get to any of that. Oh, shiny, bald, pink flower. You're always talking about getting into local politics in your own area to make a difference. People need to know you don't have to run for election to be a part of your local government. You can work government jobs for your city. I work for a larger city in Utah. I won't say where. But the lady across has a, quote, Earth Steward Award next to her book written by Bill Gates. She's a city planner. She didn't run for election for that position. She simply applied and got hired. I hope some of your listeners know there are other ways to make positive changes to your city or town without needing to run. And this guy is so right. You don't want to run for office? Don't run for office. Go down to City Hall. Start turning in applications for job openings. I don't want to do that. I don't feel like it. Jesse, what's the point? Okay, you're right. There is no point. The communist thinks there's a point, though. That's why you've got child drag night in your red city, because the communists knew those city positions were critical. While we're out there acting like the presidency is all that matters. Get involved. And when I say this, remember, these are wins we can have. These are wins. Like, we can win these races, man. We have these numbers to win these races. Even the commie scum are low turnout. They can't get a bunch of turnout in these elections. We can turn out and win these elections if we just care enough to focus on what's right in front of us. I don't want to hear another word about 2024 until tomorrow's done. All right. That being said, let's talk about 2024 here in just a moment. Before we get to that, I want to do this. I want to talk about protection, personal protection, yours, mine, everybody's. You can't wish away the evil in our society. You can't wish all these violent criminals back into jail. They're turning them loose on purpose. And look, we've always had violence. You always need to carry something on you that will allow you, that'll give you the ability to stop somebody who's stronger and more violent and more committed to violence than you are. Do you have a hero gun or a hero arrow? Remember, even your non-gun shooting mom. I don't like guns, sweetie. Fine. Don't call it a gun. Give her a hero arrow. It doesn't even look like a gun. It looks like a TV remote. Shoots a double barrel blast of pepper gel that will save her life. Non-lethal? You don't need a concealed carry permit. All you do need to do is go to hero2020.com. Code Jesse gets you a special discount. Hero2020.com, code Jesse. We'll be back.
You're listening to The Oracle.
You're going to love this one. It's a scream, baby.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is The Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. Don't forget, you can email the show. You're welcome to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Love, hate, death threats, all are welcome. Let's get to a couple of those because I'm a little behind. Dear Mr. Man Meat, you were right about, quote, turn the other cheek Christians. I live in the red state of Texas, and our pastor was going to give a sermon about some hard truths. He spent the first half of the sermon beating around the bush and putting in qualifiers like, I really don't want to offend anyone, and I want to be clear that we love everyone here, before hardly saying anything considered truthful. Our churches have been neutered, and it isn't any wonder congregations are getting smaller. Well, you know this is a hot-button issue for me that I rant about all the time, and I just ranted about it earlier. I do want to say this, though. You know how we were discussing, maybe you remember this show, I don't remember, we did it a few weeks back. It's something we've kind of touched on before, I really dug into it a few weeks back, but remember how we talked about the shortfalls in military recruitment, and we were going over how America, it isn't ready to fight a war, a major war, for a variety of reasons, but we don't have the young men to fight a war. And I explained, just stay with me here, this is coming back to the pastor thing, hang with me. And I explained what we're running into here, that when you take into account the rampant obesity among young men, the number of young men who are on all these mind-numbing things, I've got to take this for my anxiety, I've got to take this, well, that automatically disqualifies you, so you're out. So you've got drugged out men, men who are too fat, men are... We don't have a population of young men who are essentially built for military service. Because it would be easy to say, well, we didn't have that before World War II, Jesse. The military was small. Well, yes, we didn't have them already in the military, but they were all out there working physical jobs. They were mechanics. They were fishermen. They were farmers. They were... We had a society full of fit young men. Well, you can take a fit young man and turn him into a fighting man with relatively little effort. But we don't currently have that. Our society would shatter mentally if we ever went to war. Remember, the stat nobody knows about? Everyone knows all these World War II stats, all these sexy ones. The one no one knows about? Over 400,000, quote, mental casualties in World War II. Never hear about those, do you? Over 400,000 men just shattered mentally. Understandably so. It's no insult to them. But that was in a society with strong men, a cohesive society, strong men, good values. 400,000 gone. What does that number look like today? It's an amazing number. All right, now let's go back to what we were talking about because it actually goes along these lines. I have been and will always be extremely critical of America's feminized version, feel-good version of Christianity. Just love and love and love and just love some more and love and turn the other cheek and love and love and love and then pray and love and pray and love and wear my skinny jeans. And I've been very, very, very critical of the pastors in this country, like the ones I was just ranting about in Ohio. You, as a pastor in Ohio, your sermon on Sunday, at least part of it, you know, preach about what you want, whatever God tells you to, that's not my business, but at least a portion of your church service on Sunday should have been dedicated to mobilizing your congregation to march to the polls like a freaking army to protect life in your state. How many did it? Not enough, right? But at the same time, remember this. We have part of our feminized view of America, our feminized version of American Christianity is this. We feel like pastors are supposed to be gentle and nice at all times. And as a society, since that's the kind of men we produce now, very gentle, very meek, very nice. Well, I don't know. I just asked my wife if I can have permission to go golf. Well, a society like that doesn't have enough men who are built
to be pastors either. You see, if you raise a society full of feminized low-T men, well, not only is your military going to suffer because you have a bunch of weenies that end up going into it, every part of your society suffers because you need strong men to lead in various parts of the society. I'm not trying to excuse them, but the truth is, we take a bunch of these weapons-grade weenies who've been raised to be weenies, and they go to seminary school, and soon they find themselves as a pastor. And don't get me wrong, he's very, very nice. He's really nice. You should see how nice he is, and I met him. He's nice. But I'm not looking for nice. I'm looking for spiritual leadership of the nation. In fact, I'm looking for what a lot of people might consider to be outright mean. No. None of this. None of this at all. No. You have a job to do on Tuesday. I'm here to tell you, as your pastor, take the day off work if you have to. March your butt to the pools and go save some babies. Otherwise, I don't want to hear about your prayers. That's the kind of sermon I want to hear. But we're not producing those kind of men in our society anymore. Now, you know what? That's not fair. We're not producing enough of them. We are producing those kinds of men. We are. Just at a lower percentage than we ever were. There's all kinds of super studs who are still in the military serving. I have no doubt there are all kinds of wonderful pastors who none of that applies to out there who are digging in. There are all kinds of type A firefighters and cops and all the construction guys. There's all kinds of type A men left in this society. Just not quite enough of them. And as you take the spine out of men in a society, you will find eventually you don't have any men who are equipped to lead you in any way, in any form. And that's part of what we're running into here as a country. We don't produce the men to produce the pastors. It all comes back to our culture, which we've allowed to rot out from underneath us. And this is a problem we have to begin to fix. You know, these are the problems. Now we have to begin to fix them. And just remember, fixing them is a home problem. It starts at home. Are you raising your sons and daughters to be strong and leaders, or are you raising them to be like everyone else? I have to ask myself this question all the time. Am I doing right by my boys? Am I preparing them to be what they should be? I hope so. I'm trying. I have to, and you have to, all right? And you have to give to Tunnel to Towers, too, speaking of people worthy of your support. Because we do have so few of those types of men and women who will run into the fire when the building's going down. When we lose them, we need to show the rest of society, the other potentials, that we will care for who they leave behind. Tunnel to Towers, they care for the ones left behind. The widows, the orphans, the Gold Star families. Dad's never coming home again. What do I do? Well, they can't bring Dad back at Tunnel to Towers, but they can maybe pay off your mortgage, maybe get you moved into your own community with other survivors like you for support and help. Your $11 you give a month, everyone gives 11 bucks a month to Tunnel to Towers. That's where it goes. And I want you to be proud of that. All right. And if you haven't done it yet, go sign up. 11 bucks a month. That's a small pizza a month. 11 bucks a month. T2T.org. T, the number 2, T.org. Another hour. Next.
This is an iHeart podcast.